God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And it just came to me that if you look out into your community and you see that all is darkness, all you see are deeds of darkness, I'm reminded that the Word says that light cannot fellowship with darkness. If you have a dark room and you bring a candle into it, the darkness has to yield to the light. And so just something that the Spirit laid on my heart just now is, if you look around and you see a society that is walking in darkness, that means that the believers aren't letting their light shine. We're dropping the ball somewhere. So anyhow, that's free. God just gave it to me. I just passed it on to you. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And I want you to see a few things here, because this is the map to glory. This is the path that we're following, and this helps us to understand what we're going through in this life, and the promise of that ultimate goal of glory that God has given each of us. And so we'll start off here at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now, how many can tell me what is our definition of justified? What does it mean to be justified? That's right. God has made me just as if I never sinned. Wow. It's not like, well, we know you had a rough past, but we'll just kind of overlook that. No, God doesn't do that. When we come to Him by faith, confessing our sin to Him, He forgives us our sin and erases it from His memory. Now, we can't do that as human beings. Every bad thing that's been done to us in this world, we remember. And we think of ways to get our pound of flesh some way or another. Alright, that's just the way we are. God is different than we are. God can say, you know, Dale just confessed this terrible, terrible sin to me, and he claimed the name of Jesus, and so I forgive him of that sin, and right now, I choose never to remember that sin again. And he can do that. So if the next day I come to him crying about the same sin, guess what? What are you talking about, boy? All right? He's taken our sins and separated them from us as far as the east is from the west, not the north from the south. All right? Because you can go north enough so that you will go to the south. But when you go east, you will always be going east. If you go west, you will always be going west. It never ends. It's infinite. You just keep going and going and going. Amen? And so as far as the east is from the west, He has separated us from our sin. He does not remember that anymore. And so since we've been justified, He has made us just as if I'd never sinned. That means that we have peace. Now look it doesn't say the peace of God. He says we have peace with God. Amen? Now if there's anybody you want to be at peace with, it's the one who holds this whole universe together with just His very thought. Amen? Think of it. We have peace with God. We don't have to worry if God is out to get us. Now the devil and the world will try to make you think that God is out to get you. God has this great big caveman club, and he's just waiting for you to mess up so he can smack you with that club. Amen? But if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, if we confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. Amen. And so if we have done that, Now the first neat thing is, on our trip to glory, is we, first of all, don't need to worry about thunderstorms along our journey, because we have peace with the one who controls the thunderstorms. We have peace with the one who created it all. We have peace with God. Now, the more that we let God into our lives, the more that we will enjoy the peace of God. Amen? The more that we learn about God and what He has planned for each of us as His sons and daughters through faith, the more we do that, the more we'll have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen? And that's great, but the best thing is that we are at peace with God. Amen? I tell you what, some of these crazy nations over there, the Houthis, who got up and said, yeah, we have an atomic weapon, we're not afraid to use it, and we're coming after the United States of America. I said, oh, buddy, did you just pick on the wrong group of people? You're threatening to blow us up with an atomic weapon? Your whole country's fixing to be a sheet of glass, because that's what happens when you take sand and you make it white hot. All right? You don't want to be out of sorts with the strongest nation on earth. Okay? Well, even more than that, you don't want to be out of sorts, out of favor with the Creator of the universe. So since we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that's not what we have done. By His mercy He has saved us. Amen? Through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. So now it's through Jesus Christ, not of ourselves, not of works, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, but it's through Jesus Christ we have access to grace. What is grace? Okay, grace, God's grace, is God's unmerited favor. Somebody said that? All right. God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. But God gives it to us anyhow. Amen? All right, and I'm so glad, because I'm sure if I had to do stuff to earn God's favor, I would never measure up. Amen? Now, we have this little beagle at the house, Bo. He's a hound dog. And he will do something so bad that all I can think of, I mean, I must have fire come out of my eyes, you know. Makes a mess or whatever. I'll clean that up, and right away he's up there saying, oh, by the way, thanks for cleaning that up, but I need a treat. I'm ready for a treat now. I just spent 15 minutes cleaning up your mess. Yes, and I thank you for that, but now I need a treat. All right? And I give it to him. All right? Dad's unmerited favor. Sorry, he does not deserve it, but I love that little fur bugger so much that, he's just a neat little guy, and he just has those brown beagle eyes. Yes, I know, but I will die shortly if I don't have a treat. Oh, just take it. All right. And you see, we have through Jesus Christ, we have this unmerited favor with God. God wants to do good things in our lives. He's looking for excuses to do good things in our lives. And if I can do that as a fallen man with a beagle, all right, how much more can our Heavenly Father do that with us? And so here Paul is talking about, we've been justified, made just as if I'd never sinned. Now we have the peace with God. And now, through Jesus Christ, we've obtained this unmerited favor, this grace. And it's just not we're part of the family, but we're the favored in the family. Amen? All right. Now, Now, Carrie, she will tell each of her grandkids that she loves them the most. Oh, I'm not supposed to tell you that? With all the grandkids. Oh, no. I know it. And my grandmother would do the same thing. I love you all so much. And then she was like, don't tell the others, but you're my favorite. Okay? She would do that. And then she'd go to my cousin. And I love you all so much. Don't tell the others, but you're my favorite. Okay. Guess what? God, we're his favorites. We're all his favorites. He's looking for opportunities to do good things in our lives, just like that beagle likes that little three-meat treat on a piece of rawhide bone, and he just goes absolutely, I mean, he's in puppy nirvana. When I give him one of those things, his eyes glaze over. His, oh, all right. He just, and I love doing that for him in the same way. Hey, if I, a fallen man, can do that to a dumb animal, how much more our Heavenly Father loves showing his unmerited, giving his unmerited favor to us, all right? And let me see, through whom we've obtained access to this grace, his unmerited favor, in which we stand. Okay, it's one thing to be told you have this. It's another thing to walk in it. Amen? It's one thing to be given something. It's another thing to receive it. That's how it is with salvation, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life, right? But how many take advantage of that? Not everybody's going to heaven. Only those who have received. He's died for everybody. But there's just a few that have received that in their own personal lives. Amen? And so it's one thing to be given something, to be made, something to be made available to you, but it's quite another to receive it. Amen? And so he's saying, we stand in this. I am the beloved of God Almighty. Amen? And so even if somebody in some foreign land decides to arrest me for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, am I afraid? This guy's a police inspector. Yeah, but my Father is God. Doesn't that put a whole new outlook on things? Whoever comes against you, but he's big and he's mean and he's armed. Yeah, but you haven't met my Father, obviously. Amen? And so that's who our Father... So we can walk in that. We don't. Somebody comes along. Terry says, you know, she's been suffering with this sickness now, and we know what it is, and it's just the super potent antibiotic that she was taking was really knocking her for a loop. This is the second day that she's been off of them, and she's really, believe it or not, this is better. All right. I mean, this looks bad, but this is a whole lot better. Oh, I know. I'm just stepping in it all over the place, okay? It's a whole lot better than she was yesterday. Yesterday, it was, she could barely get out of bed. And so, we can say, this is what my life is. Or we can say, no, I'm the beloved of God. And my God's name is Jehovah Rapha. He's the healer. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. Amen? And so Paul is telling us here, And you need to know whose house you're standing in. You need to know whose family you belong to. Because most of us are acting like orphans. Oh me, oh my, what am I going to do? Here's an idea. Tell Father about it. Amen. Amen? That was the one thing I just really got me more irritated about raising teenagers, is they get in a bind and they try to take care of it themselves. Uh-huh. And then what happened? It gets worse. All right. So finally, when there's no hope, then we come to Dad. All right. All right. Well, I've got a grand idea. Why don't we come to Dad first? Yeah. He'll do that. There we go. All right. Okay, but listen, we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. One of these days, we're going to have bodies that are not subject to this world any longer. We have bodies that if a deadly disease comes up against, we're just going to, you know, laugh at it and go about our business, because we're going to have glorified bodies. We're going to have bodies like Jesus did. Amen? When our bodies in the grave are united with our spirit and our soul, and we put on immortality, and disease has no more control over us, and injury has no more control over us. I mean, like, you can be in the middle of a earthquake and a building falls on you, and your response is, I got my clothes all dirty. All right? We're going to live in a body that is not subject to the physical laws of this world. Amen? I'm looking forward to that. Because I now have been given the privilege by God to live in a body that is subject to the laws of this world, and it ain't no fun. These old bodies have ceased to be fun a long time ago. Amen? I don't like waking up with aches and pains. I don't like saying, what a wonderful day. Because one thing, your mind just doesn't grow old. You know, it still thinks it's a 12-year-old or whatever. You know, and then you roll out of bed and your body catches up. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's right. Huh? There you go. You'll still get on a skateboard, but when you fall, Bubba, it's going to be bad. Okay. All right, now, we're not going to claim that, all right? But knowing also, because we've been in this, we can boast in our sufferings. All right? Because God is giving us the opportunity of going through these sufferings, what our glorified bodies are going to be like is just so much better. You know, you cannot enjoy the mountaintop experiences until you've been through the valleys. Otherwise, that's just how life is. I've told you all the story about the guy that died, and he wakes up in the afterlife, and he was an avid golfer, and so he opens up the door of his apartment, and there stands his caddy. What's going on? We got 18 holes to play. We're going to play 36 today. All right, let's get out there. And so the guy tees up, and he hits the ball, hole in one. And he says, you know, I'm liking this heaven. Yeah. Gets up to the next tee, hits it, hole in one. All 36 holes, holes in one. He plays all week long. The score, every day, 36, 36, 36, holes in one. End of the week, he says to his caddy, man, I didn't think heaven was going to be like this. And the caddy said, I told you this was heaven. Think about it. If we never experienced the bad things of this earth, how would we ever be able to celebrate in the good things? Amen? So, that's how it is. So we can boast in our sufferings when we go through hard times, because one of the things that we need in our spiritual walk to be effective is that we have to have endurance. That's the difference between babies. That's the difference between teenagers and adults. All right? Adults, If you get up on Monday morning and it's time to go to work and you, you know, maybe had one of those long, busy weekends and you don't feel like getting up and going to work, Larry, we just call in and say, sorry, I can't make it in today. No. You do that one too many times and they'll say, well, just forget about ever showing up again. All right? We don't do that. Whereas, you know, in school, Ma, I can't go to school today. I've got a cough. And both mom and dad are saying, yeah, cough. I think there's probably a test today is what's going on. All right. We're going to go ahead and try this cough business. Why? Because we did the same thing to our parents when we were that age. All right. And they ain't nothing new under the sun. Okay, so what difference is endurance. A mature Christian is able to go through the difficult times because he has suffered, and because of his suffering, he has obtained endurance. Do you know that to be a member of a SEAL team doesn't require that you be athletically superior to all those around you? It doesn't require that you play football or baseball in high school or in college or whatever. It doesn't, as a matter of fact, there's been some guys that signed up for the SEAL team that didn't even know how to swim. Okay? That kind of choice is beyond my ability to comprehend. But yeah, you don't even need to, they will teach you or you will drown to learning. And, alright? But this is what they do in the SEAL teams. Is they teach you endurance. You will learn to endure. The strength will come, the capabilities will come, the skills will come, but the thing that you have to have, or you'll ring out, will ring that bell and say, I don't want this anymore, and everybody's free to leave, and ring the bell 3 times, and leave your helmet behind, and you walk out of Buzz training. Alright, because the thing that they're looking for is, can we make this young man have endurance? Because without it, they can't put you under pressure and expect you to respond properly. So Paul is saying that our suffering produces endurance. So we can boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. So God, you know, God, why am I going through this? And he doesn't answer. But whatever that is that I'm going through, I'm still going through. So guess what? I trust in God's word that he's, at the very least, he's building endurance in my life. All right? And endurance produces character. Amen? Once you've learned endurance, then you can show forth the love of God in your response to those around you. So endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Amen? That's one of the things that the instructors in Buds will tell you. It says, don't look at, I've got to make it through Buds training. If that's your mindset, you'll never make it. Don't even say, I've got to make it through today. Get up, make your bed. So you've already been victorious in one challenge, and say, I've got to make it through this morning. Once you make it through this morning, I've got to make it to dinner tonight. Got to make it to dinner tonight. After that, let's clean your barracks, get everything shined up, have a good night inspection, and hit the rack. All right? You're just doing it one step at a time. We don't like doing it one step at a time. We want to know what the whole journey is going to be. All right? But see, that's what character is. And in character, when we have character, it produces hope. And so once you've made it through that training, you know, yes, I can do this because I've already done it. Yes, you can be successful in your Christian walk. Because if you're here today, you've already been successful in your Christian walk. Amen. Well, Pastor, I failed a few times. Yes, but you're here today. The devil tried all week long to keep you out of church today, and where are you? You're here. You won, he lost. Amen. You won, he lost. All right? And so having that character produces hope. I can make it through. And that's what I admire about my wife, is that she could lay in bed and suffer just as easily in bed, or she can be with God's people, the ones, the church that God gave her, and she can enjoy your fellowship and everything together and learning and growing in God's Word. And that's, you know, that's what character does. And we're all going to make it together, aren't we? Amen. And hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. And so we'll go through difficult times, church. Amen. Dads, even though our kiddos are raised, mostly, alright, there's still that dreaded phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever, alright. You never stop being a dad. Ladies, you know, you never stop being a mom. Do you? No, that's who we are. Our kids can be 50 years old, but they're still our kids. That's just how it is. Like Carrie says, no, they're my babies. Yeah, they are. Amen. Praise God. And because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And so folks, yeah, sometimes the trail that we're on, it's a narrow little winding trail, not heavily traveled like the rest of the world. And it's got some obstacles on it that you got to crawl under or crawl over. Whatever the case may be, sometimes there's disappointment. I've been on long hikes, multi-day hikes before, and you're saying, oh man, the place where we're going to stop and make camp for the night just has to be around this next corner. And you go around the corner and there's a whole big more valley and a mountain and whatever ahead of you. No, not for the next couple hours anyhow. All right? Hey, that's life. That's life. But God is walking through this life with us. Amen? And He calls us His children. And He's already told us we're going to make it through to the end. And we have that assurance of knowing that. Amen? And so, yes, we'll deal with discouragement. We'll deal with disappointment. Sometimes things aren't going to work out the way we anticipated them to work out, but God has a purpose in our lives, and His ultimate goal is to get each and every one of His kids back around His throne. Amen. That's where He wants us. Amen? Just like Grandma and Grandpa loved all of it when all the grandkids and everybody showed up for Christmas time and we're all sitting around the Christmas tree. I hope some of you enjoyed scenes like that in your youth. And that's where the family was. That's we were there and we're together again. And we look forward to that. And our Heavenly Father is looking forward to the time when we're all together again in glory. We're all sitting around the throne enjoying His very presence. And enjoying the fellowship of each other. Amen. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We don't know how rough the coming days may be, but believe me, He's going to make sure that we make it. Amen. And so we have that hope, St. Paul says. What a wonderful hope we have. Oh man, one of these days I'm going to, well, in our glorified bodies, we won't need to sleep. I was going to say, I'm going to roll out of bed, and my mind and my body's going to be on the same page. Amen. Praise God. We're going to be able to stand before the Father and take whatever assignment He has for the day, and off we go. Serving God by, in reality, face to face. Now we're serving Him by faith, doing what He's done what instructions He's left for us in His Word, but one day we'll be serving Him face to face, enjoying the fellowship of Father God and all of our fellow believers in Christ. Father God, we thank You for this day.